Hello, good morning. You're very welcome along to the weekend edition here in Highland Radio with me, Greg Hughes. Coming up on the programme, our very special musical guest this morning is De Laurentiis, who will be in studio to perform live. Alton are offering musical tours of the Northwest next year. We'll get the details of how you could get involved. We also hear how you can give the gift of Christmas to a child through the Presents for Percy appeal. Author Andrea Carter is in studio to discuss her new book, which chronicles an Inishowen mystery. We speak to an expert about how your feet can hold a lot of information about you, while there's also information on a new and free parental support workshop. All this and much more to come between now and 12. Text the show 086 770 0055. You can call 074 91 25000, or if you're on Twitter, you can tweet me directly at Greg Hughes 2. And you're very, very welcome along to the programme. So hopefully you'll stay with us between now and 12. Those text and phone lines available for your calls, comments, requests, anything you want to get in touch with us on the programme today, you're more than welcome to do so. In fact, you're encouraged to do so. Thanks very much to John Breslin, who sat in for me last Saturday while I was away. By all accounts, a fantastic show, as you'd expect from John. Right, a quick look at the newspapers, and as has been the case, and is often the case, of course, but particularly over the course of the last week, they make for very sad reading. The Irish Independent, though, focus on a financial story, and that's that big IFA story. The fact that Mr. Pat Murphy was getting, I beg your pardon, Mr. Pat Smith was getting in 2013 over €500,000 in a package, wages effectively, and that reduced down by about 50 grand then, or 100 grand, should I say, in 2014. But there was much debate and much discussion about that, of course, but those are the figures now, and I suppose you could argue, not a bit wonder they wanted to keep it off the public record, because by any accounts, even coming out of a recession, if that's what we're doing, to be earning €550,000 per year to head up the IFA is an awful lot of money. The Irish Times banking inquiry report, not fit for purpose. The Oireachtas banking inquiry members had held an emergency meeting today amid fears that the work of the committee is on the verge of collapse. The Irish Daily Mail, a year's jail for almost killing this six-year-old, and that six-year-old, a beautiful young girl, Jennifer Casey, pictured on the front of the paper. A motorist who plowed into a six-year-old girl and drove off, leaving her dead, has been jailed for just a year. Martin Joyce, who had a previous conviction for leaving the scene of an accident, was yesterday sentenced for breaking a red light, hitting young Jennifer Casey, smashing into her leg and leaving tyre marks on her body before driving away. And I think we need to get away from using the word accident in these stories, because we determine how these things happened, and it's just somewhat misleading, I think. The Irish Sun, Little Fighters, another picture of two lovely young lads. Young Cartmine fire survivor Tom Connors was able to escape his grief for a few hours yesterday as guest of honour of the President. The four-year-old lad who'd suffered burns and smoke injuries in last month's tragedy put on a brave face as Michael D. Higgins welcomed relatives of the victims to Ars Unuchthoron. But even with older brother Mick, seven, at his side, and it continues inside, I'll just read this last paragraph, orphan Tom later struggled to hold back the tears as he posed for a group photo, and you can just see the sadness on his face. The Irish Daily Star, Forge Fiesta, cheat snap up fake driving licence for €80, and they've gone for two pages on the inside of the paper on that one. And they also chronicle a game a lot of people, fans of sport, are looking forward to, Man City versus Liverpool, 5:30. That kicks off this evening. And in sport, of course, Jason Quigley was in action overnight, probably guilty of staying up watching that myself when I should have been getting my beauty, much needed beauty sleep for this programme. The fight didn't start till about 1:30. But it went four rounds. Jason extended his record to 9-0 against a very, very awkward opponent. And indeed, I think Jason himself and maybe his trainers will be somewhat concerned about the amount of punches he shifted. And if his opponent was a bigger puncher, it could have been a different outcome. But he won nonetheless unanimously and cut in the third round. So he'll have to take some time off, you'd imagine, to allow that to heal. But cut above his eye against an opponent that was not shy about using his head either. But well done, Jason, of course. Irish Daily Mirror, 27 dead in Hotel Siege. This is the story of Islamist gunman who butchered 27 people in a hotel in Mali yesterday, 1 week after the Paris attacks. And details of that awful tragedy are still really emerging there. 086-77-00-555 is the text line, or you can call us on 074-91-25000. Now, we are joined on the programme now by Mairead Nimona. Good morning to you, Mairead.
Hello, how are you?
Very, very good. How are you?
Fine, thank you.
And it's fantastic to speak to you. We're speaking in the context of, if you fancy a tour of the north and northwest of Ireland with Alton next year. How does this work?
Well, it was a tour company in New York invited us to put this together, and they're called Hammond Tours, and they're under hammondtours.com, and they asked us, would we be willing to bring our fans on tour? And I said, of course, as long as we get as far as Donegal and Gweedore and do what we want to do, do it a little bit different to the rest of the tours, because what I noticed in a lot of towns is that tours come into Dublin and they all go south or west, and nobody ever comes past Donegal town to the other area of Donegal. So I was very adamant about where I wanted to bring the people.
So for people really, though, to get the full Alton experience, they would require that visit to the west that you're so keen to encourage to really get the soul and the spirit of the music.
Well, our music is derived from County Donegal, really, and all the music, all the fiddle music, and all the songs are from my own area, Gweedore, the Rosses, and Clonmacnoise. And I was really wanting to bring people to that area. And when we do play music all over the world, people ask about specifically about where our music and our songs come from, and I think it'll be a different experience for people to do this. And we want it to be a relaxing time. We'll be playing music, we'll be playing maybe one or two concerts during the whole event, and it's going to be a week long kind of visit, starting in Dublin, going to Belfast, because my late husband Frankie Kennedy was a Belfast man. Mm-hmm. So we were thinking of bringing people to Belfast first of all, to the Titanic rent, the Titanic experience, and all, and then go up the following day towards Bushmill, Kent Causeway, over towards Derry, and then another member of the band is from Derry. His name is Bahai Sproul. He lives in Minneapolis, but his roots are very much Derry. So we wanted to do that and spend a night in Derry, and then go around Inishowen and Buncrana, where Kieran Tours is from.
That's Mairead Nimona there, who of Alton, and Mairead's out in Germany. We appreciate her taking the call, but that is live radio, of course, and this is the Wild Alton Way Tour, which sounds fantastic, and it's been marketed, of course, to the Americans and beyond, as you'd expect, but I can imagine there'd be quite a bit of interest in that also here in Ireland. The Wild Alton Way, come to Ireland and tour with Alton, and it's running from the 12th to the 19th of November next year. And the Flyer Girls will personally guide you along the rugged and spectacular coast of the north and the northwest of Ireland, and see firsthand where our music came from, and enjoy the mystical and dramatic landscape of counties Donegal, Derry, Fermanagh, and beyond. And there's more details actually on that if you're interested in it, or you have family abroad, and it'd be a good excuse to get them home. HammondTours.com. You can get more info there. But nice to hear Mairead talking of the importance of bringing their fans to the west of the county and not just the usual Dublin and the southern part of the country. 086-77-00-555, back after this break. And you're very welcome back to the programme. I had a first there because we had a full-sized penguin in studio. Avril McMonagall of the Donegal Childcare, or Donegal Childcare Manager, joins me in studio now. Avril, how are you?
I'm great, thanks Greg.
Thank you for bringing Percy up with you, Percy the Penguin.
You're welcome.
Seemed very quiet, obviously penguins can't speak.
Yes, he
but,
is.
Very polite.
Generally very well behaved.
Very polite nonetheless. Mm-hmm. And if you want to see Percy, you can check out our Facebook page, Weekend Edition, I think. Yvonne will have a picture up there for you. We're speaking in the context of Presence for Percy Appeal. Now, this has been running since 2011 and has helped hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of families to get through Christmas and to make Christmas for many children. Give us the background as to why you developed this idea in the first place.
Okay, well, the Presence for Percy Appeal started, as you said, in 2011. It was really an initiative by the Donegal County Childcare staff team, because I suppose that was the time that we could see things were getting really, really difficult for families, particularly in the county, and we wanted to make a contribution to that. I suppose we'd only ever intended to run the Presence for Percy Appeal for about 2 years, because most of these appeals do have, you know, quite a short shelf life. This will now be the fifth year of Presence for Percy, so we're actually wrapping the appeal this year. We've been told that the 75% of the Christmas bonus is being reinstated this year for families on welfare, so we thought this was as good a year as any, I suppose, to exit the appeal. And that's not saying that the need isn't there. We've been getting requests in for Presence for Percy from, I would say, mid-September from families. But I suppose there's always a certain weariness sets in after an appeal lasts a certain length of time.
There's also the situation in that your focus is the Donegal Childcare Committee, and yeah. I can imagine that the Presence for Percy appeal could have its own committee, all of its very own, and it takes up a great deal of time and resources too around this time.
Yeah, well, I mean, absolutely. If you think that back in 2011 we brought in €6,500, and we thought that was absolutely fantastic. The appeal grew last year that we brought in €25,000. I would imagine it'll be bigger again this year. I mean, it's an unusual piece of work for a government-supported organisation like us to be handling, and that didn't help either in terms of trying to get sponsorship, but nevertheless we're very happy that we've helped over 1,000 families in the period of the appeal.
And that's down to the support you've received in putting out that appeal.
Fantastic support, and of course the Presence for Percy appeal is quite unique in that everything stays within Donegal. All the purchasing of toys and books and a lot of the stuff that is connected with the appeal remains within Donegal businesses. It's Donegal businesses that sponsor, and all the money stays within the county.
And it means that, very importantly, not everybody is lucky as others for one reason or another, but families and younger people particularly make sure that they're waking up to Christmas like everybody else.
Yeah, well, there will always be families in our county, unfortunately, that can't cope with extras like Christmas. And I suppose that the whole rationale and the reasoning behind Presence for Percy is to protect that magic of Christmas. I mean, I don't know about you, but, you know, when I was very small, Christmas was never a very extravagant affair. But yet, you know, we all have some lovely memories of Christmas. And it's not always about money. It's about protecting children's memories and protecting that wee bit of magic that surrounds Christmas.
I think the last time I spoke to you, whether it was last year or the year before, it was
last
about
year.
A week before Christmas,
yeah,
or something.
That's
right. Thankfully, you've come in a bit earlier this year. So maybe you can take a little bit of pressure off yourself, because hopefully there'll be a rush of people looking to assist with you. How can they help? How can they help with Percy?
There's a number of ways in which you can help the appeal. We're situated down in High Road in Letterkenny. It's worth remembering that no gift is too small. We're looking for everything from books, particularly preschool age toys, anything at all that can help. We've also set up a text Percy, which is 50300, and that'll be given out later on, and you can text €4. We also have a chip and pin service in the DCC office. You can also drop a cheque or make an online payment to DCC, and all details are on our website www.donegalchildcare.com or on our Facebook page, or just give the office a ring and we can do toy pickups, toy collections, whatever's necessary.
Because as you've mentioned right at the start, you're already getting requests from families for help.
We've been getting requests since September, because now that the appeal's quite well established, people know it's there and they know its purpose. So therefore, from September, we've been taking requests, but we probably only made the decision to run with the appeal again about 3 weeks ago. Mm. We're working through all the St Vincent de Paul's right across the county. We've got the 6 area presidents engaged, so we will be taking requests from St Vincent de Paul's in every area of the county and facilitating those back out for full coverage.
What's the response been like so far from the public?
Pretty good, because we've got a couple of sponsors that stay with us every year, and I mean, only for them the appeal probably wouldn't run. Mm. But saying that, we need the small stuff now. You know, we need the gifts, we need the books, anything at all. We need the stock and fillers, and we're also having a huge party on the 8th of December in the Radisson Hotel. We've local businesses like Cooney's Garden Centre helping us out with that. They're decorating a Christmas wonderland down in the hotel for us. We've got local printing agencies have printed golden tickets for this. We've been running a competition across the preschool services in the county. The winners of that were just announced on Facebook last night. And we're also targeting 5 special needs organisations that are working with children with special needs across the county, and those children will be coming to the party on the 8th of December as well. And this is like Percy's farewell, and this is also where the St Vincent de Paul agencies will be presented with cheques and things like that to help their work.
Have you discussed all this with Percy?
Yes, Percy's completely on board. Percy's completely on board, as you can see. Very enthusiastic for a Saturday morning.
Clap it away there. Fair play to it. Him, her. It's kind of asexual. You wouldn't know what it was. But anyway,
yeah,
it's Percy.
Exactly.
Percy the boy.
Yeah.
And Percy will be on hand down on the 8th as well. So
Percy will be there. Santa will be there. Interestingly enough, we have targeted our Donegal County Council councillors to give up some of their time to help out with Santa, either as a Santa's helper in some way.
No, that would be fun.
And we have 3 secured so far. So big shout out. We're still looking for another couple. So if you're a Donegal County councillor and you're listening out there this morning, we still have a couple of slots for the 8th of December to fill, so please give us a ring and donate your time.
I hope you don't rely too much on the council for funding. You'll have to vote on this. Do you want to name who's involved so far? No, would that be fair?
Yeah, fair enough. So far, we've got Michael McBride is signed up, and Councillor Martin McDermott and Councillor John O'Donnell.
Fair play to the 3 of those so far, but you need more elves and
helpers. I need
more.
I need as many elves, helpers, it doesn't matter. Please come forward and we'll find an outfit for you for
that's
the day.
At the Radisson on the December the 8th.
Yes.
You want this to be the biggest and best if it's going to be the last, at least.
Absolutely.
For now.
Absolutely. We want to go out with a bang. 25,000 was what we brought in last year. We want to beat that this year, and we want to help as many families as possible. And then the hope will be then that, you know, somebody will set up or appeal, because it's important to
you
say
don't want to leave a vacuum there.
No.
It's established there, and even I presume
exactly.
You don't want people taking the
absolutely.
Branding of it.
Yes.
And moving
and
forward
yeah,
with it.
Yeah, definitely. And we'd be more than happy to share what we've learned through the because we've learned an awful lot, but I think this one has reached its shelf life now. So, but we want to go out with a bang.
Right, so the best way to get information is to go to the website initially.
Or the Facebook page.
The Facebook page,
yes.
And you search Donegal Childcare Committee.
Yes.
And there's text options, so you can
yes.
just send a text and donate money.
Yes.
And all the money goes
all
and
the money
helps
goes
people.
Straight into the peel, and all the money stays within Donegal.
And thousands of people have got that smile and that lift and that bit of weight off their shoulders at Christmas.
Absolutely.
Which is a very difficult time for a lot of people, because there's pressure and expectation there.
Yeah,
so
sometimes, I mean, I think we get letters after Christmas, and because it's too late then for the appeal, but some of the messages and letters that would come in after Christmas about the difference that this did make to families is quite humbling when you hear that. So
okay.
it's a very worthwhile appeal.
Well, the best of luck with it.
Thank you.
And Percy, I don't want you to be so definitive about the end of this. You know, Percy can come back in 2016.
Absolutely.
But someone else is going to have to organise it, really.
Absolutely.
It's not the end. It is Christmas. We're coming up to Christmas. Let's be positive.
Okay.
So all the details on the Donegal Childcare Committee website, and put December the 8th in your diary. I think there's going to be a lot of... newspaper cameras there now. See a couple of those. Are they going to dress up as elves? Or do we know?
We don't want to reveal too much,
okay.
Greg, at this stage.
I'm not saying anything more. Listen, Avril, it's always a pleasure to have you in.
Thanks
for coming in. And
thank
we wish you the very, very best. And thanks to Percy and the others that come in with you as well. He's flapping away there. No bother.
Thanks.
All right, Avril, thank you. So if you want to help, and many, many of you out there have, thousands and thousands, well, hundreds and hundreds, over 1,000 families effectively have been helped by the Presence for Percy appeal since 2011. And the best way to get in contact is to go on to the website, Donegal Child Care Committee. Or call us if you don't have access to the internet. We'll put you in contact with someone. 086-7700-555 is the text line. You can call us on 074-91-25000. Back in a couple of minutes. And you're very welcome back to the programme. And I'm delighted to be joined in studio by Andrea Carter. A very good morning to you, Andrea.
Morning, Greg.
Now we're going to talk about your book, Death at the Whitewater Church, which is based in Inishowen. And I'm curious as to find out why that is. But tell us a bit about yourself. You're a barrister, author. Which is the priority here?
Well, at the moment, the priority is author. I was a solicitor for 10 to 12 years, I think. And then I was practicing in Inishowen, which is why the books are set in Inishowen. And I then transferred to the bar and I moved to Dublin to practice as a barrister in crime. And I'm now on sort of extended leave of absence, really, since I got the book deal, and I've been writing full time for the last probably year and a half to 2 years. So,
do you think you'd be the author that you are without your career in law? You talked about the fact that you worked in the area of criminology, crime. Can you draw on that when writing? In certain books, at least.
Yeah, just to a certain extent, I think. Obviously, as a lawyer, you've got to be very careful that you don't draw on specific cases or specific clients, and you've got to be very careful about that. And I don't do that, but my protagonist, my detective, is a female solicitor practicing in Inishowen. So I think certainly at the beginning when I started writing the books, she was a braver or more reckless version of myself, really, I think, at the beginning. But she's not anymore. She changed.
Now, it would have been easy, I suppose, to maybe go for a broader appeal. I might be completely wrong in this setup, but to set it in London, set it in New York, to set it in Paris or Frankfurt, you know what I mean? In that sort of urban environment,
yes,
as opposed to a more rural environment, because I suppose, you know, you have to create the story in a different way, or do you?
Well, I suppose the first thing is that I haven't lived in Frankfurt or
the places I mentioned.
The places you mentioned, exactly, other than London for a short while. But I think the particular type of books that I'm writing, the Inishowen mystery series, are sort of classic mysteries with a murder at the beginning and a small town and a limited cast of suspects and a solution at the end. And they're not thrillers. They're not gun-toting
the gangsters. Mysteries.
And they're mysteries, mm-hmm. Yeah. And so a rural setting really works for those kind of books, those kind of crime books. And I'm a Midlander. I grew up in Laois, which is the only county in Ireland that doesn't touch a county that touches the sea. So it's the most Midland county. So when I was living in Inishowen, I think I really appreciated living on a peninsula and the sea and the cliffs and the landscape for me was hugely inspirational, I think, in terms of I thought, what a fantastic place to set a crime series.
Tell us about Benedicta.
Benedicta is a solicitor. She goes by the name Ben, but she's a female solicitor who runs her own practice in a small town in Inishowen. And she has moved to Inishowen for reasons of her own that become apparent as the book progresses. And during the course of the series, her backstory will become clearer and her ongoing story will develop over the course of the series. Mm-hmm. But each individual
case, I suppose you could call it.
Each book will have an individual story, will have an individual mystery, murder mystery to be solved. But her story will continue throughout the series. Mm. She's feisty, I suppose, and she's nosy, and she's a bit of a Miss Marple-y type character, I suppose. But she's quite mouthy and but also very conscientious, I think, in terms of the work that she does and her care for the people that she encounters. And she's also a keeper of secrets, which solicitors, small town solicitors in particular, are. And so people come to her and talk to her about things that are going on in their lives and problems. And so she finds that she has a lot of information and she pieces things together in using that process, really.
So Death at the White Water Church has been out since early September.
That's right.
And a fantastic idea for a Christmas present as well.
Yes.
So we'll come, it's a great time to be talking to you. But what's the as much of the story that to set it up that you can tell us?
Well, it opens with Ben, the solicitor, accompanying a surveyor to do a survey on a deconsecrated church, an old ruined church, effectively, because the church is being sold and Ben is acting for the owners of the church. And something is discovered in a crypt which nobody knew existed underneath the church, and the story develops arising out of that discovery. And I've used the story of something that I heard about when I was living in Inishowen, about something that had happened many years before, and I have fictionalised it, really, so that the solution to the mystery is rooted in the past in this book, as is so often the case.
Would you write it with sort of the red herrings sort of a style, or do you...
I tend to write, I don't really put in red herrings on purpose. What I do, the way that I write is I will write a first draft straight through, because for me it's about the story, and the narrative, and I don't plan it out. I think I would be bored writing if I knew exactly what my next chapter was going to be. So the story unfolds for me as I'm writing it. It's like driving along a foggy road at night, and you can see so far, you can see as far as the next bend, but you can't see what happens after that. And so my first draft is kind of a skeleton, and then I write subsequent drafts and I fill in further, flesh out the characters.
And some of the best stories too, even reveal the outcome at the beginning. It's sometimes the journey rather than sort of turning the last page to find out some massive...
Absolutely. Although mine are very much the solution is at the end.
Yes.
So, but I mean, I agree with you. Donna Tartt's Secret History would be one of my favourite books, and that's not a whodunit, that's a whydunit, you know.
Are you playing with gender in that your lead character is a woman but she goes by a man's name, if you know what I mean, or is that just pure
Well, it's not really coincidence. I can't really pretend it's coincidence because I'm Andrea, but I'm known as Andy.
Right.
So
I can't pretend
that came from nothing, you know. But also I think I came up with the name Ben. I wanted to write a female character called Ben. And then I had to come up with a name that Ben could be short for, and I discovered that there was an Italian saint in the
and you can imagine that Benedicta would be tired of explaining where the origins of her name, and she just shortens it and it just makes life easier.
Absolutely.
So it works quite well.
Absolutely,
like that.
Absolutely, yeah.
Now, this is a series of books.
That's right.
This character will take part in, I suppose, for want of a better way of putting it. And the next book's already well underway, is it?
The next book is written. The next book is waiting for me to copy edit it when I go back to Dublin. And we have a publication date of the 4th of August next year. So it's called Treacherous Strand. And so that's book two.
Also based in Inishowen.
Also based in Inishowen.
And have you committed to write a certain amount of in this series?
I have. Well, I mean, as long as they continue to sell, as long as people want to read them, I will continue to write them.
Brilliant. Excellent. And what about, would you like to see Ben on screen or...?
Oh, I'd love to. Absolutely. It's been said to me that it might make a good
mini series,
a television series, the sort of Sunday night ITV
kind of
thing. Yeah. And of course, I'd be thrilled if that happened. And also,
the Fall is something along those lines, or Luther, or something like that. Where it's a nice 5-6 series,
absolutely,
episodes per book.
And I think the attention it would bring to Inishowen might be nice too, because any of the reviews that I've got, I've had some fairly decent reviews, and they've all.
You've been a bit modest there, but go on.
Well, I've had some nice reviews,
yep.
And most of them have drawn attention to Inishowen and the portrayal of Inishowen and how what a fabulous place it would be to visit, kind of thing. So hopefully that will achieve something. You know?
And any reaction locally to the books? You've portrayed the show, or maybe the people, or
positive, I think.
Yeah.
So far, positive. I signed some books yesterday in Easons and Letterkenny, and they were all lovely. Joe was there, and very, very nice people. And I'm going to be signing books in Super Value in Carndonagh this afternoon as well. So Jerry Doherty will.
What
meet
time's
me there
that at? Just so people.
I'm going to be there about 3 or 4 o'clock. So, So. It seems to be positive. I'm sure I will get some negative feedback at some stage, but it hasn't arrived yet.
But you sometimes you get that, but I think anything that shines a light on an area, as you mentioned, and it's nice that you're drawing from the place. It's not your home place, but it's the place where, you know, it obviously had an impact on you.
Oh, very much so. And I think even when I started writing when I was living in Inishowen, but I continued to write about Inishowen when I moved to Dublin, which I thought was kind of interesting of itself because I missed it. I missed Inishowen, you know, but I do hope I'll be forgiven as a blow-in for borrowing the area for my own purposes, you know. But
Sergeant Tom Malloy, is he a love interest of Ben's?
You'll have
tension there, is there, the sexual variety?
Well, you'll have to read book two to see if that comes to anything.
Very good. And how far ahead have you, you know, this character, Ben, of her life, because you don't want to reveal too much of the character as you go, do you? Because I presume you want people to grow with the series,
absolutely.
Grow to know her.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, to a certain extent, I haven't her entirely figured out myself. I mean, I know who she is, I know what her background is.
Well, some sort of a crying game or anything.
No, you're not. No, although
I want royalties if you go down that route.
I think I may have done something in book two that prevents me from using that particular device.
Well, don't ruin that either.
No, but, no, I won't. I won't. But no, I think you're safe enough. I don't think you're going to get any shocks in that area.
So, Death at Whitewater Church. Of caller says here, but it's callers on behalf of the book club. Our book club in Letterkenny read your book. And we can't wait for the follow up. An excellent book, and we really, really enjoyed it. So
that's very kind.
When you get a collective of book readers endorsing something like that, that's lovely.
That's great. Thank you.
Andrew, thanks so much for coming in.
Thank you very
much. I'm going to ask the obvious question, but I presume it's available in all good bookshops and online as well. Amazon,
absolutely,
is it?
It's on Amazon and it's on various online websites as well. And I've just signed a contract for the translation rights to German.
Wow,
so I signed with Goldman Random House.
Those are the types of things that do not happen unless something is making a bit of cash and is well received. So that's brilliant
news.
Well,
hopefully so. So that'll draw some attention again.
Excellent.
In Inishowen, hopefully.
Especially, you know, it's great timing. People are starting to visit more in Inishowen.
Absolutely.
Anything that puts the area on the map, all well and good.
In a positive way.
Excellent. Andrea, thank you so much. I want to remind people, just in case they heard, you're in Carndonagh, did you say?
I'm just going to call in and sign some books. It's not a big event or anything, but I'll call in and sign some books in Super Value.
You don't make out like you're going to be walking around with some eggs and milk and bread.
I might do that as well.
There's a bit of structure to it.
Well, I'll be there and I'll sign books.
Excellent.
So, and it'd be lovely to meet anybody who's there.
Andrea, it's been absolutely lovely to meet you. I can't wait to get my hands on this and read it. And
I hope you enjoy it.
I will. I'm sure I love this. It fits right into the kind of stuff I like. You know.
Great.
So that's why I like The Fall and The Luther and all that kind of stuff. Anything with a bit of mystery. Or a story, really. Thanks so much for coming in. That's Andrea Carter. Are you still in Inishowen or back to the Midlands?
Well, I'm in Inishowen for a few days, but I come up and down. But at the moment, I'm living in Dublin. So,
Great to have you in, Andrea.
Thank you. Thanks.
Okay, you're very welcome back to the programme. Delighted to say a number of you contacting us looking for contact details to support the Presence for Percy appeal. They've helped thousands of families. And I don't want to labour the point, but we all know how difficult Christmas can be, and you can just make that Christmas special and happen indeed. If you get me, for families across Donegal. So go on to the Donegal Childcare Committee website or give us a buzz here and we'll give you the details. Now, setting up in front of me is the fantastic De Laurentos, a massive act who are going to perform live for us on the programme between now and 12 o'clock. But for now, I'm delighted to say I'm joined by Trevor Wilson. Hi, Trevor.
How are you doing?
I'm doing very, very well indeed. Now, of course, you're from Downings. Many people will recognise you. And you're looking for people to vote for you. What's the background to this?
I am now. I have a love for dogs and mushing, and I've been recently to Sweden there about 3 years ago to mush in the snow now, and my wife has entered me into a competition to drive a six-led dog team out on the Arctic tundra for a week.
And sludging, if I've said it correctly, that's the sleigh behind the dogs, isn't it?
That's it, yeah, that is it, yes.
Fantastic. And what's the mechanism that requires votes? Is it a competition, Trevor, and where can we vote for you?
Yes, it is a competition that's online now. It's a company called Valraven Polar. So it is now. You can go on to valravenpolar.com or through Facebook as well now.
And that's F-J-A-L-L Raven, just in case, because it's spelled a different place.
Yes.
So if we all get behind you, Trevor, we can make sure that you're taking part in this 300-kilometre long winter adventure across Arctic tundra.
That is it, yeah. You travel from Norway to Lapland and Sweden.
Wow, fantastic.
Over 5 days.
And this would be your dream come true?
It would be just absolutely brilliant, so it would be. I just love the outdoors and the snow, just, you know. But
yeah. And you'd be facing stiff competition, though, for the slot, would you?
You would be, no. It's actually country by country to go by, like, you know. Mm. And there's actually two slots in it now. And this competition here, through Facebook, whoever gets the most votes, gets through. And then the actual company themselves pick another participant as well.
Okay. Well, Trevor, we're hoping people will search Valraven Polar, vote for you, Trevor Wilson from Downings, get you on that 300-kilometre long winter adventure. We'll link it off our social media as well. Let's hope it goes viral and you can be going from Downings to Tundra.
That would be very much appreciated, mate.
All right, Trevor, listen, we'll
thank
do as much as
much.
We can.
No problem.
All right,
yep.
Take care. Right, that's Trevor Wilson there. So search F-J-A-L-L-R-A-V-E-N Polar if you want to help him on his way.